I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Teeters.
All right, thank you. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety regarding smoking in enclosed public places. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Harvey, No, Davison, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment also on House Bill 31. Mr. Chairman, I would like to wait until the explanation of the bill has been completed before going back to the standing committee amendment and asking for consideration of that. But I will move that amendment at this time and turn the speaker over to the good representative from the Bighorn Basin.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I would say this is an old friend, but I don't think very many of us regard it as such. We've all pretty much made up our minds before I come to the microphone. You've read it. You know what it contains. And I'm just going to provide a very small amount of data. But first, I would like to explain the bill, what it is and what it is not. If you would turn to page 2, we start the definitions, and I think that the one that would be of interest on this page is starting on line 11. Enclosed public places means an indoor area, room, or vehicle that the general public is allowed to enter or that serves as a place of work, including but not limited to. And then here is the list: restaurants, stores, private and public office buildings, including all office buildings and offices of political subdivisions and state government, trains, buses, and other forms of public transportation, healthcare facilities, auditoriums, arenas, and assembly meeting rooms that are open to the public. In the House Standing Committee, we eliminated line 11, which is alcoholic beverage establishments. Facilities of the University of Wyoming, community colleges and private colleges, public and private school facilities. And then it talks about what an establishment is. It's under one roof that serves the public for which a single person, agency, corporation, or legal entity is responsible. It talks about place of work. And then on to page 4, smoking. We even tell you what smoking or to smoke means. And then on line 9, except as otherwise provided in this section, smoking in an enclosed public place is prohibited. And it talks about the responsibilities of the proprietor, and that is to post a sign in all the conspicuous places, et cetera. Section C, beginning on line 19, the proprietor or manager of an interstate bus is also charged with putting up a sign. On to page 5, the prohibition in this section does not apply to the following places: whether or not the public is allowed to access those places. And there again, with the amendment, we strike January 1st of 2010 so that we now allow alcoholic beverage establishments. The prohibition does not apply to private residences unless it's a child caring facility or a health caring facility. It does not include a private motor vehicle or a hotel or motel room that's designated as a smoking room. And it does not include a site that's being used in connection with the practice of cultural activities by American Indians that is in accordance with the Federal American Indian Religious Freedom Act. So we allow the Department of Health to, and the bill in its present form says enforce, but we amended out enforcement and just said that they shall promulgate rules and regulations necessary to accomplish the purposes of this article. And pretty much we decided that was going to be the rules and regulations of the signage. So a person, these are the penalty sections, a person who violates this statute is guilty of a misdemeanor. And please note, that is a person who violates, who smokes. That is not the establishment owner, manager. It's just the people who do it. And then in Section B, a person who owns, manages, operates, or otherwise controls a public place where smoking is prohibited and who fails to comply with the provisions of, and it says this article, but we in the Standing Committee amendment listed the statute that just talks about the signage. And if they don't comply with the signage, then they're guilty of a misdemeanor, and then there's the violations of that. It talks about on page 7 the local regulation, and it says that communities can adopt a more stringent ordinance or regulation. The counties or the municipalities could adopt something more stringent if they want to, and it becomes effective July 1st of 2009. And I'll turn the further explanation of the Standing Committee back over to the chairman.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, going through the Standing Committee amendment, the first 7 lines have to do with taking out on page 3, line 6, or line 11, alcohol beverage establishments, and then renumbering. So what that amendment does is that takes out alcoholic beverage establishments from the requirement of banning smoking within those establishments. The second amendment is on the bottom of page 3 and deleted in individuals and inserted employees. This was in an attempt to take out those places of work where an individual might be the owner of that place of work and have no employees but be working there by himself. And in that case, that person would also be allowed to govern himself and not be required to abide by the no smoking requirements of this bill. The next amendment was on page 4, line 16, and that had to do with the proprietor putting up a sign. Since there are now smoking places and non-smoking places, the proprietor would be required to put up a sign whether or not smoking was allowed in that particular place. The next amendment is also on page 4, line 19 through 21. And that amendment is basically just reworking the language of that paragraph to where it reads more like the language in the previous paragraphs. There's really no substantive change there. The next amendment was on page 5, line 5. And that concerned the alcohol beverage establishments, since they are no longer required to be smoke-free. In the earlier amendment, there's no date necessary that they become so after a certain date. The language on line 6, 7, and 8 was also deleted for that same reason. The next amendment was made on page 6, lines 8 through 10. That language had to do with rules and regulations. It started out, the department shall enforce. The department has no means of enforcing. The department is just a writer of rules and regulations. Primarily, those rules and regulations would have to do with signage. So it was thought that we should just take that out and put more standard language as far as writing rules and regulations in. And then the final amendment was made on page 6, line 22, in which there was a penalty for the owner of a public place. The committee chose to not penalize the owner in case somebody was smoking within the enclosed public place, but just that he would not have control over that individual, and that if there was a penalty to the owner, that should be for the owner not being in compliance with putting up a sign, whether in an enclosed public place or on a bus. And so that's why that language was inserted there. I'll stand for any questions on the amendment.
We're on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Is there any other discussion? Question being called. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Millen.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to split the amendment.
Divide
the amendment, I'm sorry. I'd like to do lines 1 through 7 and 20 through 25 is the first division, and 8 through 19 and 26 through 34 is division 2.
It's divisible.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're on Division 1?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Division 1 will be lines 1 through 7 and lines 20 through 25.
Mr. Chairman, and I would ask you to vote against Division Number 1 because what this amendment is going to do is take out your alcohol establishments. That would be any place that serves alcohol. And I'd rather see if we're going to support. There's another amendment coming later that'll address places 21 and over. This place, our children can still be in these alcohol establishments, so I'd ask you to please vote against Division Number 1, and Division Number 2 I can support. Thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, also included in Division 1 should be Line 10, because if this amendment fails, then the placing of a sign should not be a whether or not, but the placing of the sign should be that it would be placed. So I just wanted to make that as a clarification.
Representative Millen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we could make that lines 1 through 10 on that for Division Number 1.
All right, we're voting on lines, or the discussion currently is on Division 1, which is line 1 through 10 and line 20 through 25. Is there any other discussion? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question. We're talking about alcoholic beverage establishments, and I'm not sure if the good chair of the committee or someone can answer what constitutes an alcoholic beverage establishment. The way I think I fear it reads is any place that serves alcohol. And as you know, we have many restaurants that serve alcohol. We have many establishments. I think this goes a lot broader than just bars or places where you have to be over 21 to enter. So unless someone clarifies me, I'd ask you also to defeat this amendment I think this is a huge loophole that we may have created, and we can fix it on second reading with a new amendment, but for now we should probably defeat this part of the standing committee amendment.
Representative Millen.
Mr. Chairman, there was some confusion on splitting that amendment, and it was brought to my attention that I do want to leave 8 and 9 in Division 2. Line 10 would only be in Division 1. So that the part on line page 3, line 23, that says individuals insert employees, I want to leave that in Division 2. That is something that I can support. So I just wanted to clarify that.
For my clarification, you're requesting that line 8 be in Division 2, but line 10 be in Division 1. Is that correct?
Yes.
Chairman Landon?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the good representative from Cheyenne, who spoke previously to the good representative from Cheyenne, has identified one of the particular parts of this amendment that I would agree is flawed, and that is we don't have good definitions for the alcohol establishments and for restaurants. The intent of the committee was to separate the two and allow smoking in bars and not in restaurants. We had a number of amendments in front of the committee. This amendment came up first. It looked like it solved the problem to the committee working late in the afternoon. It was later recognized that it could have some flaws. So it doesn't bother me to, if we want to take this part out of the amendment at this time, some of the following committee of the whole amendments will address this question again, at which time I think it's more commend or possible than to discuss more the philosophy of the intent.
Okay, for the body's clarification, we're dealing with Division 1, which is line 1 through 7, line 10, and lines 20 through 25. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and maybe the good chairman of labor just fixed my problem. It sounds as though what he's urging us to do is vote no on Division 1, and maybe there's some other amendments coming that speaks to it better. Because when you look at this under the definition on page 2, alcoholic beverage establishment, it's Articles 2 and 3 of Chapter 4, 2 being a retail license and 3 being a special club license. And I'm familiar a little bit with special club licenses are usually golf clubs and places like that. But the retail license, here's one of the problems is before we had the bar and grill license, which is a different distinction now, many of these restaurants that had a restaurant liquor license, because they wanted to operate similar to a bar grill, they went and got a retail license also, even though they're really not operating as a bar situation, but they have a retail operating as a restaurant. And I think you're going to have a conflict in the law if this thing passes, because you're going to have a banning of or permission under retail, but banning in a restaurant, and you're going to have people that are running a restaurant that hold a retail, and it's going to be a conflict in the law, and I'm not sure how that's going to be resolved. So it doesn't even really matter which way you believe on this one. I think this division should be defeated simply because it's not worded correctly yet, and it creates a conflict in the law.
Is there any other discussion on Division 1? Question being called on Division 1 to House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 1 has been defeated. We are now on Division 2, which for the body's clarification is line 8, lines 11 through 19, and lines 26 through 34. Is there any other discussion on Amendment 2? Chairman Landon?
I don't believe Amendment 2 is controversial.
We're on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Division Number 2. Is there any other discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Division 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Division 2 is adopted, and we are back on the bill. Representative Harvey.
Thank you for the promotion, Mr. Chairman. On your desk, you should have three handouts with my initials on that also say House Bill 31. And the one that I would like to point you to first is entitled The Cost of Tobacco in Wyoming. I know that there's a lot of them. This is an emotionally charged issue for a lot of people. And I just like to stay with this part of the argument and to start with it. And if you'd go down about halfway down the page to tobacco-related monetary costs in Wyoming. Now, if you to put this in context, let's take the third reading of another bill this morning and the discussion over $1.5 million. And then look at these facts. The annual health care expenditures in the state directly caused by tobacco use, $136 million. Now, please keep in mind, those are not costs to the state. That's the cost that Wyoming people, through their personal, their insurance, and the state funding, is $136 million. The second one, the annual health care expenditures in Wyoming from secondhand smoke exposure, is $8.9 million. Now, the third one is the one that should concern this body stronger than any other argument that you hear today, and that is the state Medicaid program total health expenditures caused by tobacco use is $37 million a year. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to have my tax dollars go this direction. For financial reasons of operating the state and the fiscal accountability that we've been given, I think that we need to do everything we can to get costs that are controllable under control. And I'm not saying that $37 million, if we pass this smoking ban, it will come to us immediately. But over time, we will see less of an increase in our Medicaid costs if we do pass this. I found it interesting, if you go a couple of more bullets down, it says smoking caused health costs and productivity losses per package sold in Wyoming is $7.26. And ladies and gentlemen, we do not recoup that. If you go to the second page that says fact sheet, strong support for smoke-free policies, it goes county by county with the exclusion of Albany and Laramie County because they have a citywide smoking ban. And look at what your constituents are saying. There's nobody that says they want to continue to have smoking in public places. And then if you go on to the third page, this is the Surgeon General's report from 2006. And it lists the levels of carcinogens in sidestream and secondhand smoke cigarette. If you think that we don't regulate air quality, then you ought to come to some of the Minerals Committee meetings where we talk about emissions from power plants. We're so concerned about selling Wyoming's coal and generating industry, and we do very strongly regulate what goes into the air. This goes into the air in enclosed places, and people are exposed to it whenever they go where there is smoke. And for those reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm going to vote aye on this bill, and I urge you to do so also.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good lady from the Northwest talked about money that's being spent. It seems to me that all of these green signboards around here talking about secondhand smoke, that certainly came from somewhere, and I think that came from the tobacco cessation fund. Why didn't it just say, instead of secondhand smoke, why doesn't it just say stop smoking? That would have been more sense and certainly more more cost-effective than saying secondhand smoke. I mean, it is legal. So I think that we probably wasted a lot of money, and I understand those signboards were done by some outfit on the south side, on the south edge of Wyoming, would have been much better just to say, stop smoking. So that's one point when we're talking about money. The second thing the good lady also mentioned about the levels of carcinogens in sidestream and secondhand cigarette smoke. Seems to me that if you smoke, you're going to get some of these anyhow. So we keep talking about secondhand smoke. Why don't we just stop smoking? And I assume that everybody knows that if you take a look on the on page 32, which is actually the second page, that it talks about benzene and some of these other things. Folks, there are foods that we eat today that have some of these chemicals in them. It seems to me that that I read somewhere that strawberries have arsenic in them. It seems to me that in some cases throughout this country there is benzene in some water that we drink. So, not trying to say that this isn't correct. I'm just trying to make you understand that just because somebody says it's in secondhand smoke, it's also in some other things that we ingest on a daily basis.
Chairman Landon.
Madam, or Mr. Chairman, we heard a lot of testimony, not only in the interim, but also in three different meetings here before we considered the bill. And we all sat very politely through all that testimony and listened, and that's as it should be. But I think here we need to really examine what we're looking at and to be real honest and forthright in this whole issue. This is not about banning smoking, and that has to be the first thing that we talk about. So these statistics on the individuals who die from smoking every year. The next one says the secondhand smoke and pregnancy smoking, maybe it comes up to 60, but the statistics that we were given was that less than 1% of people that are exposed to secondhand smoke feel the effects of that. Otherwise, I think that kids would be dead all over the place. The cost figures, once again, are for smoking. I don't know how it came up to this $8.9 million for secondhand smoke if it's just near 1%. I'd question that. The statistic for Medicaid's cost is for tobacco use. We are not talking about tobacco use here. That's not the issue. The next sheet, the fact sheet that shows the number of people who support things, that's the number who support things in restaurants. It says right above the chart there. I think that you'll find that in restaurants. Over the last 10 years, the number of restaurants that are smoke-free in the state have gone from 20, 40, 53, 60-something. Now it's 80-some percent of the restaurants in the state of Wyoming are smoke-free. So we're trying to catch up with something that's already culturally happening. In Sheridan, there's three restaurants left where smokers can go out of, I don't know, 20, 30. One of them is an ancient, small restaurant where these guys have been going down there for years and years. Actually, the amendments that are coming before us will make that restaurant smoke-free. I even have a little problem with that. But I just want to point out that you need to examine these papers that you get carefully. And differentiate between what's here and what the proposal is before us today.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, first of all, I was a smoker, quit in 1970. My father and father-in-law died of cancer from smoking, But there's another issue called private property rights, and I certainly appreciate the chairman of the committee that handled this bill talking about how it is escalated on places closing or shutting off the ability to smoke in them. That's wonderful. That's still a private property right, and they're responding to the demands by the people to stop the smoking in them. And the small percentages that are still open, those people that go there say, I want to smoke in here. In fact, one of the restaurants that he's talking about in his hometown, the people that work in there say, I want to keep smoking. And we also talked about how the Minerals Committee handles and regulates pollutants and issues that are controlled substances. I think you've got to remember that smoking is a legal substance, or tobacco is a legal substance, and when Congress steps in and makes it an illegal substance, then maybe we ought to do something like this. They haven't done that yet. And the Minerals Committee shouldn't be handling a situation like this because it's a legal substance. And people have a right to smoke. We have a right to walk away from them. And if you want to put signs up in those restaurants that say smoking is allowed in here, don't come in if you don't smoke. Most of my career since the near end of my active career with the minerals industry was with a group that stood out that they strongly supported private property rights. I was even asked by a commissioner to step in on something where a private landowner shut the road off. And I said, I can't do that. It's a private property right. So now what are we doing? We're stepping in on a private property right. Sure, I want people to stop smoking. My wife was scared to death that my mother-in-law was going to see what could happen to my father-in-law when he died in a certain way. If that happened, it would have been pretty bad. Fortunately, he didn't do that. He died peacefully from lung cancer. Sure, encourage people to stop smoking. And we have a tobacco trust fund, one of the few states in the union that trust fund is dedicated to help tobacco-related diseases through the health department and also educate people against smoking. But now what are we going to do with this bill? Step in and infringe on private property rights. No, thank you.
Representative Carson.
Thank you. Chairman, the question for me is will Wyoming survive a comprehensive smoking ban? I'm going to list off some statistics that you won't find on your desk. 9 months chemotherapy, 220 blood transfusions, stage 4 lymphatic cancer, 74 spinal taps, 4 bone marrows, and $392,000. Those are not statistics that belong to anybody but me in this room. They also belonged when my father was a professor at the University of Wyoming. So they belong to the taxpayers because the insurance paid for when I was sick when I was 11 years old. I can remember laying in my hospital room in the summer when other kids were outside playing, and I should have been outside with the basketball team and the running team. And I remember seeing the doctor out in the hall call my parents over, and he called them out of the room, and he said, and I can remember reading his lips, and he said, I'm sorry, your son has cancer. And I remember laying there sort of helpless and feeling, isn't that something that my grandpa had, prostate cancer? Isn't that something that old people have? And ultimately I remembered, isn't this something that someone else has? And as we think about the smoking ban, I really want to urge you all to think about this issue is not about you. It's not about your spouse, and it's not about your constituent, bar owner, and your local community. This is about all of our values in the state of Wyoming and the citizens' health. For me, this is not a private rights issue. We regulate in this state liquor. It's a privilege, no doubt, to sell liquor And it's also a privilege in the way we regulate the use of that product. It's not an inherent right. I want you guys to consider what message we're sending here if we don't adopt this comprehensively today. This, you know, we're gonna be here 20 years from now, and our kids are gonna be sitting in these chairs, and they're gonna ask, well, why didn't they do it earlier? This to me is not necessarily social evolution. It's the right thing to do. This helps the citizens. This helps the taxpayers. We need to consider the health of our individuals, and for me, that trumps the health of our bars. As we think about the issues that relate to your communities, and as you discuss with your constituents the issue of, well, should this remain in the local jurisdiction? And if you consult the Constitution, I think it hints that this is in the jurisdiction of this body. This is the body that should make the leadership call. This is the body that should muster up the intestinal fortitude to get this thing through. And I would urge you to pass this and consider that when you go home tonight and you look yourself in the mirror, I want you to think, and maybe you do this every night, do you think of yourself as a politician? And do you think about the next election? Or do you think about yourself as a statesman and that you've done something for the next generation?
Representative Millen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I agree with my good colleague from House District 50. You know, this is about protecting rights. But I believe this is about protecting people's rights to breathe clean, healthy air. I also believe in protecting freedoms, but we've got to do a better job of deciding whose freedoms are we trying to protect here. I can't think of any other toxic, cancer-causing chemical that you can legally assault someone with. So let's think about some of the things that you can legally buy. And since I'm not a felon, I can buy a gun, and I can buy baseball bats, and I can buy a vehicle, and I can buy cigarettes. But cigarettes are the other thing. If the first groups that I mentioned, you know, I can't take a gun and use it in public that could assault someone with it, try to kill someone with it. Baseball bats, I can't just swing it around at my free will. My vehicle, if I hit someone with it, I'm going to be in trouble for those things. Cigarettes. It should be the same thing. If you're going to smoke, your secondhand smoke is going to kill people. So I'd like you to think about that. What kind of example are we setting for our children when we talk about, you know, we need to lead by example, and this is the right thing to do, and I ask you to please support a full comprehensive ban here. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to bring up a couple of things. Part of this is assuming that all of these costs, which I think many of us have reason to be skeptical about these costs, that all of these costs would not happen if people didn't smoke. This is assuming that none of these people who, if we magically waved the wand and ended smoking as we know it in this free society, that none of these people would ever get sick. Well, I'm here to tell you folks, none of us are going to get out of here alive. And the fact is, people are still going to get sick, and do, even those of us who don't smoke and never have. For me, this is truly a private property issue and a liberty issue. In this country, last I checked, we still stood for the ability of every American citizen to have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I don't think that mandating how you run your business or what you choose to do with your personal choices or anything that we as a government should be inserting ourselves into the middle of. The other thing that makes me very uncomfortable about this particular bill and this particular action is that there is an awful lot of money that is being spent. These are state dollars being spent on billboards, on little placards in bar rooms, above urinals. My understanding is that these establishments are getting $50 a month for every one of these that they place. We've seen these murals all over the state. I don't know, and I haven't been able to find out, how much money has been spent on what is, in my mind, clearly a very conveniently timed and strategically placed lobbying campaign by a state agency using state dollars. And that makes me very uncomfortable. So I have been given information. I wasn't privy to the, I'm sure, very thorough discussions that went on in committee over this bill, but I have been provided some information that leads me to believe that the studies that were quoted are based on junk science and cannot be verified. So I would urge you to vote against this. I don't think this is what this legislature needs to be known for. Thank you.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31 and request your favorable consideration. This should be a little easier than the heavy question that we're talking about. This amendment would address a small business community of specialty tobacco shops that could be unintended casualties of this bill. These shops sell specialty tobaccos, cigars, pipe tobacco, etc. These customers traditionally try these products before they buy them, so they need to smoke there. Almost all these customers are smokers, so there'd be very little danger of secondhand smoke affecting these people. Kids would probably not be in there because kids aren't allowed to buy tobacco. And these are just a small segment of stores. They would have to have 75% of their total gross income from the sale of tobacco. Cheyenne has this secondhand smoking ban in place right now, and these shops are exempt. So I urge you to support this amendment, and I also strongly support you, urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Is there any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 31 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a different way from separating bars from restaurants and eating establishments. And what this does is it redefines enclosed public places. As you can see in the amendment, it means a place of work where the public's allowed does not include alcohol beverage establishment, which by law individuals under exclude individuals under 21. So what this would exclude from places that have a smoking ban would just be those pretty much stand-alone type bars. It would include in those areas that there would be a smoking ban is those types of establishments that had a bar but also had family members and people eating at a restaurant. And there's some of those that have that are along Dell Range here in Cheyenne. So it pretty much makes a distinction, I believe, between bars and restaurants. And that's so the purpose of the amendment would be that there would be no restrictions on bars as we know them, where those who enter are carded, they're 21 or older, but it would have a ban in restaurants and other public places.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly understand the good gentleman's purpose and what he's trying to accomplish, but again, this amendment is flawed simply because we actually don't have any law excluding 21 and under. Here's the problem. It reads, but does not include alcoholic beverage establishments which by law, and that's the key part, which by law exclude individuals under the age of 21. I know this will come as a surprise to many, but it's only against the law to sell to an individual under the age of 21. Under our law, if you actually go to 12-5-203, it's actually only illegal for someone under the age of 18 to enter into a bar. 19 and 20-year-olds can actually legally enter into a bar, but what's happened, because they can't sell to a 19, 20-year-old, they card at the front door and prohibit them from entering so they don't mix in with their normal customers and get served by accident. But under our law, we do not prohibit those under the age of 21, and particularly 19, 20-year-olds, from being inside a bar establishment. Now, some municipalities have made that clear in their code, but the legislature has not done that. So the effect of this amendment would be zero. Nothing would happen. You would still be banning smoking in a bar because there are no establishments that by law exclude individuals under the age of 21. And perhaps this can come back on a second reading amendment. There are some other ways to maybe word this to try to get to the purpose that the bringer of the amendment was trying to get at. But I would just simply point out that's this one's just not going to work.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? Chairman Landon?
Mr. Chairman, the original amendment that we didn't consider in committee because of that, because the previous one that we struck down had passed, did say 18. That seemed to give some people some problems in the committee, and so that was changed to 18. Mr. Chairman, I would almost call it a technical amendment to change that to 18, but I'm not sure that according to our rules that quite meets the definition. At this point, I would be happy to withdraw that amendment and bring one that is more accurately in sync with what our statutes say. So, Mr. Chairman, at this time, I withdraw amendment, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 has been withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman, I do move a Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 31. This one, I believe, is a better way of defining of excluding private offices by not being so limited as the other one. This excludes private offices that are located in residential structures in which they aren't open to the public. The other one seems to exclude or to not exclude, let's see. Should have had my thoughts together on this. The other one, it excludes just part of those places And this one is primarily excludes those places of work that are in a person's home from having to be considered smoke-free.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3. Are you ready for the question? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that I've got a little confusion in my notes anyway, that after the word work, line 23, that the smokehouse definition was put in place. Does the current amendment proposed conflict with that?
The way I'm tracking that, they are both on line 23, and I'm assuming that that's a technical correction that staff will make. Chairman Landon?
Mr. Chairman, where this comes to play is actually on page 2 in the definition of enclosed public place, where it says on line 13, that enclosed area where the public's allowed that serves as a place of work. So this goes to the definition on page 23, line 20, on page 3, line 23, 22, and 23 of what a place of work is. And you can see that it means an enclosed room where one or more employees work, but does not include the private office that's located within a residential structure. That's the part we wanted to make that clear, that this did not include home offices that were in a person's home.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not trying to speak to or for or any of the amendment, but the amendment that we adopted, which I've labeled as the Roscoe Amendment, is placed right after the word work on page 3, line 23. As I understand, the current amendment that's being proposed is also on that same line.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, that may be true, but if both amendments pass, then LSO just tracks that in as it goes. It's not a flaw in the amendment, as I understand it.
Any other discussion on Amendment Number 3? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 31, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 has been adopted. We have a Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 4. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 4 to House Bill Number 31 and request favorable consideration of it. I'm a little bit confused by the way the actions have gone here this morning. We haven't really had a chance to hardly vote on anything. And maybe that's going to be true here also. Because my amendment indicates to be on page 5 and 6, or page 5, line 6, based on the committee amendment number 1, which deleted alcohol establishments, and that amendment has now been removed, not approved by the body here, but my amendment pertains to that amendment. So I don't know how that tracks or whether I have to ask the Rules Committee on that or what. But what it means, and I'll just say what it was supposed to mean, where it indicated that restaurants were excluded, and to clarify the issue, or not restaurants, but bars, But to clarify the issue of some bars, which also serve food, that they would also be exempted. So that was the intent of my amendment. But without the House, without the committee amendment, I don't know where this stands.
Representative Hallinan, on the standing committee amendment after establishments, we deleted the balance of the line. So if we insert your amendment after establishments, I believe that tracks correctly if you want to proceed, unless someone would like to refute that. Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Chair, I think what the problem is not about whether or not the standing committee amendment passed or not. The problem is that it probably needs to be inserted over on page 3, line 11. It appears that that was the intent, was to place it under alcohol beverage establishments. And I understand he thought that was going to come out. But what all this accomplishes is it sticks it after alcohol beverage establishments in the areas it doesn't apply to. But if you read that, it says until January 1st, 2010. So his amendment would only have effect for, well, the remainder of this year. And it was obvious that that probably was not his intent. I think his intent was to, well, I won't say what I think his intent was, but it appeared that it was to be over on page 3, line 11. So it just seems like it's in the wrong place. Actually, it needs to be in both places, but not just in one.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would have been in the right place if the standing committee amendment had continued. But since it's not there, I don't think it, I don't know. I'll let the experts tell me, but I don't know if it applies or if we can. Mr. Speaker, please.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the amendment only goes to the definition of or only as it relates to alcoholic beverage establishments, not the definition of establishment on page 3. They're different. So as it relates to, I think, what the intent of the amendment is, Committee of the Whole Amendment number 4, is to address that portion that was alcoholic beverage establishments in the prohibition section 354902 that begins on page 4, not to specifically address it for any establishment. And don't be concerned about deleting prior amendments, because LSO will take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. And for instance, on the lines 2 and 3, LSO knows if the Land and Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 passed or not. So that's the way they write the amendments. They aren't written dependent on one ahead of it passing or failing. They stand alone, but if they are affected by another amendment, they know that and they track that in.
Representative Gingrey.
Mr. Chair, I hate to disagree with my good speaker, but that wasn't my point. My point was, over on page 3, forget the word establishment on line 18. Look further up at line 11. Line 11 is what I was talking about, which says that's where we are banning smoking, is in alcohol beverage establishments. The problem is, what this amendment's going to is on page 5, which is the exceptions. And we're exempting out alcohol beverage establishments for the year 2009. I assume that the reason for that was to give them some time to adjust. The problem is what we're doing is banning smoking completely in all alcohol beverage establishments, but then exempting for the year 2009 only those alcohol beverage establishments, whether or not they serve food. It clearly was meant to be over on page 3 and on page 5. I mean, go ahead and pass it on page 5, but someone needs to bring an amendment later on and stick it where it should have been, over on page 3.
Representative Hallinan.
Mr. Chairman, I have great faith in both of my friends, but one of my friends is the Speaker, and I have more faith in him. And he says that this is okay, so I'm going to proceed with the idea that by approving this amendment, we will be saying that bars are excluded whether they serve food or not, or alcoholic beverage establishments are excluded or exempted whether they serve food or not. And the reason for the amendment is that a lot of alcoholic beverage establishments do also serve items of food. Are they a restaurant? Well, I guess by some understanding they might be. But I don't really think that the majority of them, I don't think we want to exclude those bars which serve a little bit of food from the exemption that our committee approved. That's my amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're on committee the whole amendment number 4. Is there any discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of committee the whole amendment number 4 to House Bill 31, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. We are on committee the whole amendment number 5. Representative Hallinan.
Building on the last amendment, which failed, I'll give you another shot at it. This amendment will clearly exempt all bars, all restaurants. And the reason for that, members of the 60th, is that already 85% of restaurants, or perhaps more now, are already smoke-free. This is by the decision freely arrived at by their owners. That is the traditional way that decisions are made on these kinds of questions in our society. Approximately 40% of bars are also smoke-free. And that's probably a higher number now because these numbers are going up. I believe, and I speak for myself on this, I don't speak for the medical society or anybody else. I speak for myself to say that, could I have some order, please? I speak for myself in saying that we ought to let the market take its effect. The market is the free society way, the liberty way, for decisions to be made. And as the market seems to be taking a pretty good, getting to the goal of the folks that want to have no smoking. I think eventually that probably will be achieved. There may be a few places that are holdouts. In my community, we've got a small business up by the railroad tracks. In that place, I won't give its name, but that place, the waitresses, when they serve your food, are very likely to be smoking. Maybe you don't want to go there, but that's what happens there. And, in fact, they may throw you the wash rag and ask you to clean off the table. Now, this appeals to a certain category of our population. And these folks have been going there forever. In fact, the owners of it are my patients. I don't think we should try to shut them down. That's their culture. The market will eventually result in fewer places like this. So I urge your support of this amendment. It will give the freedom to those folks to still carry on their life like they want to. And you know what you're going into when you go into that place. So I'd say, additionally, I can support this bill as a local option. I perhaps can support this bill, the bill itself. I can support the bill perhaps if it has exemptions like this. You don't have to go into a bar. You can live your entire life and never go into a bar. Most of my friends from the western part of the state, that's the way they live. They don't go into bars. You don't have to go into a restaurant if you've got a good wife like I have, who does the cooking at home. So I say support this amendment and do it right now.
Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support that amendment. I think that's great. But let me make it perfectly clear to the body. I did smoke. I do not smoke. I dislike going to an establishment that allows smoking. I dislike walking through smokers to get to an establishment who does not allow smoking but allows smoking to occur at the front door, and I think you all know about that. That being said, I want to just talk to you for just a second. There have been many studies done regarding secondhand smoke, some reasonable studies and some studies that just didn't quite make the grade. Some studies reached with a small sample and others played loose with statistics. And I can tell you about statistics because I was a federal statistician. And so I do understand how you can make statistics say what you want. A recent study that you probably all read regarding a city 250 miles south of here had a great headline, but you had to read the story to find out that the statistics were skewed to make a point. It stated that, and I quote, but the study had limitations. It assumed declines in the amount of secondhand smoke in buildings after the ban, but it did not try to measure that. The researchers also did not sort out which heart attack patients were smokers and which were not. So it's unclear how much of the decline can be attributed to reduced secondhand smoke. One academic argued there's not enough evidence to conclude that smoking ban was the cause of heart attack decline, unquote. A recent study from a country across the large pond to our east showed that emergency hospital admissions for acute coronary syndrome rose sharply in the second year of the county smoking ban. Official statistics from this study show that the decline in hospital admissions for acute coronary syndrome has been greatly exaggerated. None of the claims in the Surgeon General's 1993 report passed muster in a court of law because the study it relied on had sample sizes that were too small or the time periods they covered were too brief or the effects they showed on human health were too small to be reliable. Most of the research cited in that report was rejected by a federal judge in 1993 when EPA first tried to classify secondhand smoke as a human carcinogen. The judge said the EPA cherry-picked studies to support its position, misrepresented the findings of the most important studies, and failed to honor scientific standards. One of the largest studies occurred in 2003 and was reported in a medical journal which said, and I quote, the results do not support a causal relationship between environmental tobacco smoke and coronary heart disease and lung cancer, and that may be considerably weaker than generally believed, unquote. This is not to say that secondhand smoke is not offensive, a nuisance, and most probably a health hazard. We need to look at this since smoking is legal and cigarettes are legal substances. Where do you think people will smoke if we make it a statewide ban? Think about it. People smoke in the garage where we park, and we walk through smoke and cigarette smells at certain times of the day. Go to an establishment outside of the city, and you have to walk through smoke to get to the front door. What about the parents smoking in the house or car when children are or not present? If we institute a statewide ban, people will continue to smoke in their cars and homes. Two states have recently instituted a no-smoking ban in private automobiles carrying children. The more people that smoke around children, the worse it is for children. I've seen comments in regards to furniture in people's homes that the smoke particles, smells, and so forth in the furniture is as bad as anything. Children get all kinds of diseases from breathing their parents' smoke. But here we are saying no smoking statewide. How far will this go? I am not a fan of the heavy hand of government coming down on people. I can choose where I go to eat and choose where to shop and not be bothered by secondhand smoke. Children cannot. A ban on smoking should be decided between business owners and customers rather than a government mandate. The crucial difference is property rights. Whereas outdoor air is common property, the air inside a building is owned by the building owner. That means that the building owner, who is in a position to control the amount of smoking, if any is permitted in the building, has an incentive to permit the right amount of smoking. That is to say, the amount that maximizes the welfare of individuals with the building. Because patrons select establishments based on the benefits and cost of patronage, they will avoid establishments with air policies they do not like, or will at a minimum reduce the amount they are willing to pay for goods and services at such places. Owners of public places thus bear the full costs and benefits of their decisions regarding air quality and can be expected to select the optimal level of air cleanliness. Controversies over smoking in public places are ultimately controversies over property rights. Does a smoker have the right to fill the air with his or her smoke, or do non-smokers have the right to smoke free air? Who owns the air? A smoking ban effectively gives non-smokers the right to the air. The laissez-faire approach effectively allows the owner to determine the proper allocation of air rights. Smoking is still legal, and hardcore smokers who should quit do not. Studies show a decline in smoking after bans have not been very impressive, and in the case are hard to separate from the ongoing long-term trend. In one study, they are smoking one less cigarette a day, and in another country, sales have gone up. In some states and towns, smoking has been banned in cars on their homes' front porches, and now people are encouraged to be smoking cops. You will notice people taking longer smoke breaks and people trying to move smokers back from entrance doors. The great irony of this story is that there are modern air cleaning systems that do suck out 99% of the smoke along with less visible pollutants and recirculate fresh air. Tobacco smoke contains arsenic. So do strawberries. And so does some tap water. Tobacco smoke contains benzene. So does coffee. In every case, the amounts of toxic chemicals in smoke are so negligible that even frequent prolonged exposure may not hurt you. Distasteful, yes. A nuisance, yes. Unhealthy, absolutely yes. Stinky, yes. But we still live in the best country, and we do not need the heavy hand of government regulating every part of our lives. What's next? Banning perfumes in public places? Perfumes are certainly offensive to some and may be unhealthy. Smokers have the right to have places they can go and still enjoy a smoke while having their food. The answer to this situation is not a ban, but education on the effects of smoking. A ban will not make people stop smoking. They will smoke somewhere else. On and for the amendment.
Representative Hallinan, could you please move the amendment? I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 5 to House Bill Number 31, and I request favorable consideration of it. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some good questions for the good bringer of the amendment, because I don't understand the argument. What he's looking to do is to exempt restaurants and bars from the bill. So what other buildings are we really talking about here? Anything else that sells a good or service? A daycare, a bowling alley, an auction, a flea market, a big box store? We're saying it's okay to prohibit smoking in those places, but if you run a restaurant or if you run a bar, it's okay to allow smoking. And I understand the argument, if you're 21 or over, I think that's where the bar argument's coming into play here, and that's a very good debate I think we're going to have on second reading regarding bars. But once you start taking out restaurants and bars, I mean, really, at this point, government buildings are already smoke-free. We're putting an unfair classification on the workers who work in these other places that sell goods and services that aren't food, and that's certainly not fair and not good economic policy and not good health policy. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was eating chocolate because this debate is driving me over the edge. The lobbyists asked me if I wanted a cigarette, and I told them I'd prefer something else. But in any event, the proponents and the opponents, and I'm speaking against the amendment, of the amendment and this legislation in general, in my part, in many times have just frankly missed the point as far as I'm concerned. As an environmental attorney with a history background, science is often confusing to me. But when the science becomes clear, the public policy choices become much clearer. This is not about the ridiculous ad campaign that the proponents have made, which I thought was frankly pretty stupid. It's not about protecting children from SIDS, because that's not going to happen in a bar or a restaurant or any other public place. It's not about lobbying people at church, where I've been lobbied, or the grocery store, or every minute of the day. I'm getting a little tired of that. But on the other side, it's really not about private property rights either. It's about workers. We tell practically every other industry in this state, the oil and gas industry, the mining industry, the Trona industry, just practically any industry you can think of, that they cannot expose their workers to unsafe levels of carcinogens. In my mind, that's all it's about. And don't say, oh, the person can go work somewhere else. You know, the woman in Hewlett who died of cancer, that I'm aware of, you know, had to spend her entire professional life working in a bar because, you know, frankly, there aren't a lot of job opportunities in Hewlett. We tell all sorts of industries that they cannot expose their workers to unsafe levels of carcinogens. End of story. The science is there. It's not junk science. I don't think the Surgeon General produces junk science, particularly during a business-friendly administration. If the science is compelling on the other side that it doesn't cause harm to people who work in these establishments, then present it. But let's not talk about public private property rights on the one hand and babies with SIDS on the other. That's irrelevant. And let's get to the point and let's decide this issue. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just, not the last speaker, but the speaker before that from Cheyenne, made the statement that this amendment banned both bars and restaurants. I just want to make it clear, this one doesn't ban bars. This one only does restaurants. And I would just make it clear that we've left bars in. It seems to be a little out of order if we do restaurants before we do bars. I think if we're looking at this policy-wise, we should analyze it from go to the most extreme and then to the next and then to the next. It seems a little odd to skip over bars and go straight to restaurants. And so to allow smoking in the restaurants but ban it in the bars seems a little backwards. And perhaps what we should do is vote no on this one. Wait till tomorrow to see if we agree as a body to ban the bars and then discuss restaurants, because I think we need to go in an orderly progression of policy decision. It just seems odd to skip straight to restaurants and skip over the discussion on bars. So I would urge you to vote no and that we have this discussion again tomorrow, I guess.
We're on committee of the whole amendment number 5. Representative Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to second the comments that were made by the representative from Cheyenne about denying property rights. We certainly are not denying property rights. The Health Department has rules and regulations on cleanliness in restaurants, in bars, in hospitals, nursing homes. We have a seatbelt law. We have immunization. And these are not taking away your private property rights. I don't want to stop anyone from smoking. You can smoke in your car, you can smoke in your house, you can smoke on a mountaintop. And the only problem I have is I just want you to be sure that you have enough medical insurance to cover any smoke-related illness that you have so that I don't have to pay for it.
Thank you. Let's try to stay on the amendment. Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first off, on private property rights and the way I view them, you have an establishment that you allow legal substances in it, and we're passing a law that says a legal substance cannot be used in that establishment. I look at that as denying a person to exercise his private property rights. I understand all the other things where the Department of Health does things that make the place clean, et cetera, and so on. Other point is, as a scientist myself, just simple little chemical engineer, but having a pretty good idea of what good science is and what junk science is, you know, the good representative from Cheyenne provided a report over a vast number of years, extensive studies, as compared to some others that weren't extensive studies. I would call that good science. I mean, when you study things over a long period of time and you include a lot of people and it comes to a conclusion, that's good science. If you study something for 60 days or even a year with limited number of people and maybe provides the results you want, that's junk science. On and for the amendment.
Representative Wallace, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I intend to vote yes on the amendment, and for the following reasons. We have heard a lot of discussion about the public spaces and private property rights, and I would point out that these businesses are no more public property than their bedrooms. We are there at the owner's blessing. And the comprehensive 2006 Surgeon General report neglected to include a 2003 study claiming that it was not available at the time of the 2006 report. And this 2003 study was commissioned by UC Berkeley and was conducted by two scientists named Enstrom and Cabot. The 2003 Enstrom-Cabot study is widely recognized as, let me emphasize this, the most comprehensive work ever done on the subject, and it found no relation between secondhand smoke and any of the ailments usually associated with tobacco smoke, and it spanned the course of 39 years. That is not junk science, and the final comment that I would like to make on this subject is remember what happened in Prohibition. In Prohibition, we legally took away the ability to drink alcohol, and by so doing, we made millionaires and billionaires out of the biggest murderous crooks known to mankind. Be careful what you do.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the question on the amendment? Representative Hallinan.
Oh, very briefly, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Presently, public buildings, government buildings, are not excluded. My understanding, I was told that there is a police station over in another community in the western part of our state where people smoke in that building. The next part of that is, I can see there are a lot of places people have to go. They have to go to a grocery store. They have to go to their place of work in other things than restaurants and bars. So there's a lot of places that would be covered by having this bill with this exemption. A lot of places would no longer have smoking. Whether that's acceptable or not, I don't know. I guess I'll just let it go at that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ready for the question. Question being called. All those in favor of Amendment number 5 to House Bill 31, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. We are back on the bill. Division being called. All those in favor, please rise.
27.
Those opposed, please rise. The amendment fails. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make a few last comments on the bill. It seems to me that what we've boiled it down to here is kind of a question between property rights and a health issue. You know, when I think of it in that way, first of all, I want to think about property rights. That's a foundation of wealth in this country. It's a foundation of our security. We've built a whole body of law to protect property rights, and yet people maintain it isn't a property right. But I would say advocate that you talk to a bar owner or you talk to a restaurant owner, and they would tell you it's a property right. And an interesting twist on this was that there's a gentleman that said that that had told me about a business that his brother had that is smoke-free. And there's a number of bars in Sheridan that are smoke-free. And he maintains that if we make a sweeping bill like this across the state, that gives him a disadvantage. That's one of the things that he can market now in his bar, and one of the things that he relies on to be able to do that. If this is a health issue, then where are we talking about trans fat? If this is a health issue, when are we going to regulate the amount of sunlight a person can get? How about excessive alcohol? The thing that doesn't make this a health issue in my mind is you can walk out, is we have free will. I went to, on the way home from a meeting during the interim, I stopped in Douglas to get a sandwich, and I walked into a restaurant, and it smelled pretty smoky in there. So I thought, well, I'm not going to stay here, and I'm going to let that person know why. And so I told the waitress, please pass this on to your boss. I'm not going to have lunch here because I don't like to eat and where it smells smoky. And I went on down the road to another restaurant, and I ordered a bowl of soup. And the fat was floating on the top of that bowl of soup, and I couldn't help but think to myself, well, pick your poison. So how does the body make a call on this? You know, I think that culturally this is already fairly well taken care of. I told you about the statistics that came from the university that talked about over time how the number of restaurants that are smoke-free are now in the mid-80%. Bars are not far behind. They're now 45% of the bars in the state of Wyoming are smoke-free. I think what we're talking about here is a culture. What kind of culture do we want to live in? Who do we want to make decisions for us? Do we want government to be the one who makes our choice, or do we want to keep the choice with ourselves? I would advocate for the latter. We have free will. The founders of this country threw off the yoke of having people tell them how to live. They divided and set up a government so that the individual remained sovereign, not so that one of the government would be the ruler over the individual. This is an awful power and responsibility we have. And I mean, it's a power filled with awe. And I think that we have to be very careful with what we're doing here, because I think we're setting kind of a philosophy of how we want to live. In our Constitution, we have a couple interesting provisions. Article 1, Section 6 says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. I would maintain that we are depriving people of their property. And if you don't think so, think of the person who started a bar, who supports his family on that bar, who has his customers come in who he sees every day, whose people come in, some of them come in and have a cigarette and smoke and watch TV, have camaraderie with their friends, and we're going to take away that person's right, that owner's right to run that business the way he wants. And we're going to do that without any compensation. There's a second thing in our Constitution that I think that we need to think about too, and that's Article 7. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even with the largest majority. What that says to me is that with this awful power, we can sweep away in one stroke people's property rights and people's own individual freedom of choice. And unless we have the willingness to protect the rights even of the smallest minority, I'm not sure that we deserve rights ourselves. I would advocate that we sunset this bill this afternoon and urge you to vote no.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to be able to wrap up my story a little bit. And, you know, the one thing the doctor told me after I was cured and somehow here 18 years later, he reminded me that this is not my particular illness didn't have a specific cause. He couldn't tell me what basically caused my illness. He couldn't point a finger at it. Although he did have the knowledge enough to cure the illness, and I'm here today. This differs from smoking. And hearing the discussion today, I sometimes wonder, you know, in this body, do we think the world is still flat sometimes? Science proved that the world is round, and we know that. I want to leave by telling you a story about my favorite bartender in Laramie. She married a basketball player, played for the Cowboys, and you may know who I'm talking about. But they started and stayed and kept their business in Wyoming after they finished at the university. And she was the captain of the cheerleading team, and he was the star basketball player, and funny marriage, and they hooked up. And everything's great. She got a degree in interior design. And as you know, the housing market right now is not in the best position, and even in Wyoming. I can tell you houses in Laramie aren't moving, selling. She has more of an opportunity going back to her old college job. Being a beautiful cheerleader, she's a beautiful mom now. She gets to make good tips and make good income at the local bar. The story with her is that she's having her second child. She would not be able to work at that bar, a place that she loves. She works with people that she loves. She works with patrons that she loves. She would not choose to work at that bar if there was not a smoking ban in Laramie, Wyoming. She values the importance and the health of her unborn child. And these are some of the things that we don't think about. So the bartender, your local waitress, who doesn't smoke, and we know that those individuals are not a minority. They're actually a majority in the state. Please try to put a face to a name when we vote on this and not an ideology. I don't think, in my opinion, that we are infringing on the values or the rights of the people of Wyoming. And I urge you to support this bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just start off by saying, at least from my point of view, and I think I speak for probably most of us in here, actually, in that, you know, this debate isn't about the awful disease of cancer. And in my opinion, I'm not going to talk about junk science or anything like that. I think smoke is bad for you, and secondhand smoke is probably bad for you as well. And I'm not going to talk so much about restaurants and bars. I think that's been addressed fairly comprehensively. But the biggest problem I have with this bill is if you look at the definitions of enclosed public places, which includes on page 2, line 20, private office buildings and offices, and you go on to page 3, and you find the definition of establishment on line 18, and you find the definition of place of work on line 22. In my line of work, I joined an office with an attorney that had been practicing for 40 years. He retired in October, and he was a chain smoker. And, of course, when I came back to my hometown, I had the opportunity to work in several law offices. I didn't even have to come back to my hometown, but I chose to do that. And it was my choice to go into an office where an individual worked that was a chain smoker. And I'll be the first to tell you, the papers smell like smoke. My clothes smell like smoke. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but that was my choice to work there. And today he's retired, as I said, and I've taken over the business, and I'm the last one there. But I want each of you to consider, if you vote aye on this bill the way it is now, and I do have a secretary. Of course, she was with my predecessor for over 20 years, so she was there during the times that he smoked. She's still there, and so it's just the two of us. And I want you to consider that your aye vote, as this bill is written, basically you're going to tell me, your good, you know, representative from House District 4, that I can't smoke in my own office. And even if my secretary wasn't there, I can't smoke in my own office? Are you kidding me? I am, under the Secretary of State's provision of corporations, a professional corporation, something that's akin to a limited liability company. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I'm a corporate entity, but I'm the employee of that corporate entity. So even if I was a sole practitioner with absolutely no staff and no one to affect but myself, if I chose to smoke, I wouldn't be allowed to? Is there not something wrong with that picture? I start or take over a business that I have a mortgage on. I have a staff to pay a salary. I pay unemployment insurance. I pay workers' comp. I pay federal income tax. I don't get anything from the Wyoming Business Council, Business Ready Communities. The only money I make and the only way that I support myself and my children is when people walk in that door, because I'm in that office that I'm paying for every month. And you're going to tell me with an aye vote that I can't smoke if I chose to in my own office? There's something terribly wrong with that, I would suggest. Aside from the issue and the debate on restaurants and bars. I would suggest if the government wants to get that involved in my business, then maybe they should reimburse me for me not smoking. Maybe they should pay the mortgage on the building. Maybe they should pay the insurance on the building. And maybe they should give me a tax break for not smoking in my own office. The other thing I find interesting, if you want to kind of compare common sense and logic on this, you want to look at page 5, line 22. And if you go to the top of that page, it says the prohibition of subsection A does not apply to the following places, whether or not the public is allowed. And it kind of goes through Romanet 1, 2, 3, and what I want to concentrate on is 4. So the prohibition doesn't apply to a hotel or motel room designated as a smoking room and rented to a guest. So in this bill, we're telling people they get to go to a hotel. Gee, we're going to give them the free choice to rent a smoking room because they want to smoke in that room. Gosh, that's an awful lot of freedom to give them. Why don't we protect them against themselves when they rent a hotel room? Yet you're going to tell me as a business owner with an aye vote on this bill that I can't smoke in my very own office? The logic here, well, there is no logic here, I guess is the point. And the last point I want to make to you folks is that, you know, you cannot cure. This doesn't have anything to do with the housing market and the state of the economy. This has more to do with the private property rights. I don't have a problem with the fact that you can't smoke in the Capitol and you can't smoke at the courthouse and you can't smoke in the county clerk's office. Those are places where people, most people have to go to do certain types of business. In my line of work, there are several law offices in town. You always all are complaining. My good friend, the representative from House District 58, likes to pick on attorneys. There are a lot of attorneys. But you know what that means? That means that anybody in my hometown, if I chose to smoke in my office, could go to another office to get their legal work done. My secretary could work for another attorney if she wanted to. The point is nobody has to come into my office, just like I did not have to go into that office to learn from and eventually take over the business from my predecessor. So I'm on and against the bill.
Is there any other discussion? Representative Peasley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Once again, watch out. The freshman has the microphone. I owe it to my esteemed colleague from House District Number 18 to stand formally on an issue. And I'd also like to point out to the representative from Park County, the restaurant that had the smoky smell is, in fact, my client. The one that gave you the bad soup is not. And the one that has the smoky smell likes to get rid of politicians and other intolerant people, so they just keep that odor out there to fend them off. One of the things, I have to talk on and against the bill, and I don't know if this is the time to do it, but I'm going to. I know there's other times we may get a shot at it, but I'd like to see it die today. One of the things that's most frustrating to work in a political arena is to watch eyes glaze over when we talk about fundamental rights. And yet it happens. It's like, well, you just can't talk about property rights and freedom rights and stuff because we've got science and the debate has ended. And that's troublesome. Another thing that's troublesome is that we spend $37 million in Medicaid for smoking-related illnesses. Let's see. This is how it works. You tell them we're going to give you health insurance, and then because we pay, we have a say in your health. And I'm not going to tell you that it's altogether bad. There are other countries that have bought into this paradigm. The United Kingdom, 3/4 of the people want the government to become more involved and more restrictive on health so that more people will stay healthy. We've got Scotland and other countries that have countrywide bans on smoking. You'll all remember the beautiful little country of Singapore years ago that had carefully taken care of every health problem except chewing gum, and they finally flogged for that. And their prime minister was proud to say, as I believe he said, Singapore would have been a sicker, grosser, ruder, cruder place had we not compelled the people to live more healthy lifestyles. And of course, he added to that, and I say this for the benefit of the newspapers that seem to be supporting all of this, that this same prime minister in Singapore, after getting everybody else compliant, noted that even freedom of the press must be subordinated to the overriding needs of Singapore. So this is something more than what we're just muttering about. And the problem I have is we have the benefit of the images of the slippery slide in a lot of other countries and a lot of other states. Now, before Singapore, there was another character whose name I can't use without getting in trouble with Patty, who had a country in Central Europe, and there was a Nazi war on cancer because their leader, the guy with the funny little mustache, despised cigarettes. The Nazis were convinced that an aggressive measures held in the field of public health would usher in a new era of healthy, happy little Germans, united by race and common outlook, cleansed by alien environmental toxins, and freed from the previous era's plagues of cancer, both literal and figuratively. The Nazis used the slogan, "The common good supersedes the private good." Now, it didn't take long after that for another fellow in a uniform. Well, let me add, there was a youth manual in Germany called the Hitler Youth Manual. That is not a proper name, as I want to sometimes slip and say. But in that manual it said, food is not a private matter. You have a duty to remain healthy. A couple decades later, another guy in a uniform said, the government has the perfect right to influence personal behavior to the best of its ability, if it is for the welfare of the individual and the community as a whole. That uniformed individual was C. Everett Koop. That's where we are, and maybe that's where you want to be. My hope was that there'd be some recognition that absolute justice denies freedom. Absolute safety mocks free will. Wyoming, we brag about, is the last bastion of freedom, and I have seen it just erode away every time we declare something to be a privilege. Those little slices on our anatomy are eventually going to kill us. And I'm not going to tell you that smoking's healthy. I grew up in a smoking family. I was sucking in secondhand smoke for many years. But I am persuaded that the demand for the control of our health will never abate. They keep coming back, they keep coming back. C.S. Lewis said, of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It may be better to live under the robber baron than under the omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their conscience. All right? Now let me offer this. I am afraid that this debate will go on today and it will go on other times, and this bill may pass, something may happen. And I can't argue with people, intelligent people who bought into bunk science. I can't argue with people, and I've met some of them out there who absolutely believe the Pueblo study and the Helena study. They absolutely buy into this stuff. I now understand how Al Gore is making hundreds of millions of dollars. He got us to buy a little bunk science, and he got the whole economy to shift, and now we're going to have windmills everywhere while he sells carbon credits. And maybe I can sell nicotine credits. I don't know where that's going to go. I'm starting to get off the subject. Let me offer this as a solution. All right? Imagine a farmer or a rancher. Okay? He has two types of animals he has to deal with. There's the domestic, and there are the wild ones. All right? The domestic ones are the ones he cares for. These are the ones that are well fed. They're very safe. They're very secure. They have universal health care. All right? And they're always sheltered and protected from the predators. Then there's the wild ones. They live, their life is mean, nasty, and brutish. They have to put up with the free environment and all the dangers that go with us. Some of us like to live in the barnyard. Some of us like to live on the other side of the fence. And somehow or another, it looks like the state is starting to draw a fence as things move to the north from our good friends in Colorado, where they've adopted this mentality. But maybe we should let each of us alone, and then one side will take care of theirs and the other side will take care of ours. Now, I do realize that there's going to be a tendency to worry about our employees in Douglas or in Lost Springs or one of the towns in the northern part of the state. You're going to want to make sure that they live in a smoke-free village, and you're going to want to make sure they don't lose their jobs. Well, here's my thought. Is when I come back to this smoke-free community, the town I grew up in, I'm watching lepers sit on the fire escape and in the basement sucking up carbon monoxide from cars so they could smoke their cigarettes. You wouldn't allow animals to be put in some of these places, but you almost revel in where you're sending your smokers. Okay? Well, maybe those people, instead of working here, could move to our town. And then our people could move here. So everybody would be happy. And I notice another thing. If I'm going to be a real busybody, if you're going to be a busybody in my town, why don't I come down to this thing you call, it's a celebration, Frontier Days. And I look, as I watch across the fence, I'm, you know, a country boy, and I do understand a little bit about livestock, and I watch these cowboys and cowgirls fly in the air and land on their necks, and there's ambulances out there, and there's these clowns out there trying to divert it, risking their lives to save a person who was an idiot and got on a horse or a bull. And yet this second-hand clown, like second-hand smoke, he's at risk because of some idiot that wants to pursue something that's crazy. Now, Cheyenne puts up with that. Yippee-yi-yo, but you're not going to let anybody suck a little secondhand smoke. All I'm saying is we have it kind of set up now where your communities can live the way you want to. And I don't understand why this body keeps rising up, flexing its muscles, judging us on the other side of the fence, and telling us how to live our lives. Now, this is just, I'm not a prude on this, but I want to make a couple other quick points. And you can stay here and build your utopia. You can have all your non-smokers, and you can have it so that everyone will be safe and healthy and at ease in 100 ways. We'll go up and take a few chances. We'll live a little more dangerously, but we'll do so voluntarily. And with your utopia building and prospering, there will be jobs here, and those poor little waitresses can come down here and get jobs in bars that have smoke-free environment. Now, I want to warn you, we will have the right to have smoke-free bars, and that'll happen in our part of the state. Indeed, I get a lot of people are emailing me asking for that. There are so many things you can worry about. You can worry about skydivers and mountain climbers. You can worry about whitewater riders and rodeo people. And I want to tell you where I first got my key on this thing was I'm driving my grandson through the streets of Loveland, and we pull up, and here is, I'm sorry, a town in Colorado. And we pull up, and in the median is a police officer who has a very important task of peering into our car to make sure our seatbelts are on. And my grandson asked me a question. I want you to answer it for me. He said, let me back up, and I think I may have told this to some of you. We just heard an article on the radio about a guy falling off a mountain up by Golden, Colorado, and they were sending up a helicopter, and somebody got hurt during the rescue. My grandson, 12 years old, says, Grandpa, why is it legal to climb on mountains, but it's illegal to ride in a car with you without a seatbelt on? Now, we laugh at that. I always ask that to people, and they can't answer it. So what do? They just dismiss it. But it isn't an answer you can treat dismissively. By God, why is it that that situation exists? And I'm going to give you one other story. And I'm sorry if I'm passing over, but I haven't talked much this week. Okay, one other quick story that got me interested in this smoking thing. We had a public building in my community where we decided, by God, those smokers got to be someplace else so they're not stinking the place up. They made a smoking room. Really a neat place. The guys could go in there, gals could go in there, smoke their cigarettes. Do you know what happened during the smoke break? Those darn non-smokers kept coming in there, like the representative from Cheyenne was pointing out. They came in there, you know why? Because their life was pretty boring, and there was all this activity and this excitement from these people that were smokers. Well, it didn't take long, maybe a month or two. These darn non-smokers trespassing in the smoking room started complaining about smoke in the smoking room. So what do? We have to put a little porch out in the back there and run the smokers out there and say, you got to stay out there now. And you know what happened? You know, the non-smokers sit around in the former smoking room, and they got nothing to say to each other if they heard all this laughter out on the porch. So out they go, and they're out there with the smokers. Now you know what happened next, of course. Now the smokers are outside and down the block. And if we lived in California, it'd be 500 feet or you'd be in trouble. My point is, I don't understand why you have to pursue them and demand compliance with your standards. And that's exactly what happened. I want to also finally point out that there are a lot of carcinogens in nature. I have found out the burning of leaves in my backyard is worse than secondhand smoke. In fact, it's almost as bad as firsthand smoke. That the rural spreading of fertilizers, God bless all you ranchers, you're the next on their list. They're coming after you. Car exhausts, way more carcinogens than secondhand smoke. Barbecue pits, kicking it out. There I am, poisoning the neighborhood. They come over and get a burger, I have to give a little label that tells them they've just sucked up enough smoke to... Now listen... You know, when you listen to your public radio, too, I heard it this morning, they found another carcinogen. And these people have to keep it at a crazy rate of urgency. And I want to tell you, that everything in the air that is not a carcinogen is a greenhouse gas. Think about that. Now, where are we going to go with it? Okay, now, I've got more. I'm going to have to cut it off there. Listen, all I'm saying... All right. As the people that elected me said, just leave us alone. Okay.
Is there any other discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 31 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 31 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please rise. House Bill 31 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 115. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 31, amended. And further amended. And further amended. Recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Thank you, Representative Teeters. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 159. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 60, National Guard Youth Challenge Program. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 160. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 72, Corporations Act Amendments. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 161. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 95, Medical Necessity Review Procedures. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 162. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 98, Fines for Speeding Trucks. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 163. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 101, Trona Utility Shot Fiber Certification. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 164. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 107, Court Supervised Treatment Programs Act. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 165. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 110, Designated Real Estate Agents. Ayes 27, noes 3. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 166. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 54, physical therapist licensure. Ayes 22, noes 8, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 222, respectfully reports same back with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Kennedy, Gingrich, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, signed representing Mercer, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 229, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Kennedy, Gingrich, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg. No, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrich, Chairman. Message number two. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 237, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Kennedy, Gingrich, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne. No, Mercer. Signed, Representative Mercer, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 261, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Kennedy, Gingrich, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 146, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, no, Berger, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 152, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 163, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, no, Hammonds, Jorgensen, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 223, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Yeagie, Lubno, Kim, McComey, no, Brechtel, Dirks, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 176, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Mumie, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 193, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Teeters, Wallace, no, Gilmore, Muniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 194, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 206, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Wallace, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Teeters. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 213, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 8, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ives, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Swanitzer, Dan, sign representing Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 42, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Shepperson, sign representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, to whom was referred House Bill 61, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Buchanan, Cohey, Gingrey, Goggles, Illaway, Jorgensen, Landon, Meyer, Phillips, Simpson. Excused, Lubno, Quarberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Simpson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 127, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Buchanan, Cohey, Gingrey, Goggles, Illaway, Jorgensen, Landon, Lubno, Meyer, Philp, Simpson. Excused, Quarberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Simpson, Chairman.
Re-referrals, please. Chairman McComey. Any re-referrals? Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request re-referral to your committee number 2, Appropriations, for the following House Bill, number 213, Rangeland Monitoring, House Bill 176, B X-ray Equipment Appropriation, House Bill 194, Wyoming Healthy Food Initiatives Act. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request re-referral of House Bill 229 to Appropriations.
Any other re-referrals? Committee announcements. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to invite the body to a little fun and games tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Friday morning, January the 30th at 7 a.m., room 302, for House Bill 2132, 143, 148, and 245, all concerning wolves. And if you want a copy of the video conferencing public announcement and the locations, you can come by my desk.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon noon recess tomorrow, Friday the 30th, where we will take in room H10, where we will take up House Bill 69, Driver's Education Program Funding, House Bill 108, Student Activities Participation Fees, House Bill 167, Board of Education Terms, and House Bill 280, School District Cash Reserves.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet at 4:20 p.m. this afternoon, Thursday, January 29th, in room H17, to discuss House Bill 220, Motor Vehicle Registration Fees, House Bill 242, Off-road vehicle definitions, House Bill 132, vehicle registration fees, House Joint Resolution 2, adequate funding for I-80 as a critical freight route, and House Bill 230, vehicle sales and use tax 2.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet at in 10 minutes at 4:20. In room 302 to take up House Bill 274, Underage Drinking, and House Bill 18, Voting Rights, and that'll be in room 302. Tomorrow morning, starting at 8 a.m., we will take up House Bill 201, Retirement for Detention Facilities, Central Controllers, House Bill 235, Child Protection Case Planning, House Joint Resolution 15, Education Funding Amendments, House Bill 159, Criminal Street Gangs, and House Bill 285, Mandatory Minimum Sentences for Sexual Abuse of a Minor, number 2.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Appropriations Committee number 2 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 204. We will continue discussion on House Bill 86, Elected Official Salaries, HB 240, Elected State Official Benefits, House Bill 144, Transparency in Government, and House Bill 147, Child Abuse Statewide Reporting Center. Thank you very much.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess to consider House Bill 128, WIN Nurse Repayment, House Bill 177, Board of Dental Examiners Revisions, House Bill 271, Medicaid Speech and Audiology Services, and House Bill 266, Cardiovascular Diseases and Diabetes Initiative.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock at H18. We'll consider House Bill 71, Film Industry Financial Incentives, House Bill 239, Bighorn Basin Discovery Center, and House Bill 169, Mortgage Loan Originators. And if I may have privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Next Monday, it will be what they call Pink Ribbon Day, which addresses breast cancer. And if you have pink clothes, this is a good time to drag them out because it will be a lot of pink that day. And I'll remind you again tomorrow.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we adjourn until 10 a.m. Friday, January 30th, 2009. You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned until Thursday morning, January 30th at 10 a.m.